Hallelujah. Today's scripture reading is Joshua chapter 14, verse 6 to 15. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6 to 15. I'd like to read. Then the sons of the Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in the Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord my God fully." So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. And now, behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I'm 85 years old today. I'm still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now. For war and for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day that Anakim were there with the great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out as the Lord has spoken." So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba, for Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. This is the word of God. Today's title is, the part one is Caleb's Request. Caleb's Request, part one. After Israelite left Egypt and completed their 40 years in the wilderness, they entered the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, but it was not an empty land. The Canaanites had already taken possession of it, and it took 7 years to drive them out and conquer the land. In today's passage, as the conquest of Canaan was nearing its end, Joshua divided the conquerant and among the tribes of Lot, by Lot. The land east of the Jordan River had already been divided among the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh. And today's passage describes the division of the land west of the Jordan River. While everyone desired the good and fertile land, there was one person who voluntarily requested the land of Hebron, which was the most undesirable region among all the tribes. That person was Caleb, a man from the tribe of Judah and Kenizzite. You can see verse 6. This was unexpected for everyone. As you know, Caleb was one of the 10 men who explored the land of Canaan with Joshua. When the other 10 men spoke negatively about the land of Canaan and said that if they went there, they would all die, Caleb tore his clothes and said, God is with us, they are our bread, reassuring the Israelites who were opposing God. You can find that in Numbers chapter 13 and chapter 14. Because of this, they were cursed by God, and all the men over the age of 20 were unable to enter the land except for Joshua and Caleb. And God appointed him as the second in command of Israel. Therefore, he was qualified to have the privilege and the blessing of being able to take possession of the best land first. Even if he had remained silent and chosen the best part of the land allotted to Judah, no one could have said anything against him. However, in the presence of all the tribes, he voluntarily chose the land of Hebron, a region that everyone feared and disliked because they were afraid it would be utterly to them. Although they received the land allotment according to God's will, not everyone agreed. In fact, even after receiving their portion of the land, some tribes were reluctant to go and take possession of it because they still had to drive out the inhabitants of the land, and they were rebuked by Joshua for this. For instance, you can find at the Joshua chapter 18, verse 3, "So Joshua said to the sons of Israel, 'How long will you put off entering to take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you?' But why did Caleb want to take possession of the land of Hebron? It was to fulfill the promise he has received from Moses 45 years ago. According to the Numbers 14:24, I like to read, 'But my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it.'" And I give you another one, the Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 36. I like to read, "Except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him and to his sons I will give the land over which he has set foot, because he has followed the Lord fully." Here, when we look at the land he walked on the broadly, it refers to the land of Canaan. But God had promised that the land his descendant would inherit would be the land of Hebron. The reason he received that land was because 45 years earlier, when he was one of the spies sent from each tribe to explore the land of Canaan, he not only believed in God's promise and reported faithfully, but was also considered loyal, so the land was given to him. Amen. Let's look at the Joshua chapter 14, verse 7 and 9. Joshua chapter 14, verse 7 and 9, I write, read, "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from the Kadesh Barnea to spy out of the land. I brought the word back to him as it was in my heart." Verse 9, "So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully.' However, Hebron is a rugged, mountainous region. It is not suitable for grazing or farming, and to take possession of it, a fierce battle would be necessary. The city was fortified and impregnable, making it extremely difficult, almost impossible to conquer. What was even more frightening was that the city was depended by the Anakim, descendant of the Nephilim, or race of giants known for their bravery and ferocity. In particular, Eber, who ruled Hebron, was the father of Anak and the greatest of Anakim. According to the Joshua chapter 14, verse 15, I like to read, "Now the name of the Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba, for Arba, the Kiriath is the town, was the greatest man among the Anakim that the land had wrested from war." Their presence must have been so terrifying to the people of Israel that they said of themselves, "We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them," thus belittling themselves and being overwhelmed by a sense of defeat. Let's look at the Numbers chapter 13, verse 32 to 33. "So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land had devours in inhabitant, and all the peoples whom we saw it are men of great size.' They are. They also, we saw the Nephilim, so the son of Anak, a part of the Nephilim, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." Caleb was 85 years old. By anyone's standards, he was too old to go to war. It was time for him to rest and enjoy the rest of his life. However, Hebron was a lifelong task for him, and even though 45 years passed since he had taken possession of that land, he had never forgotten it for a moment. When he asked for Hebron as his inheritance, today he remembered what Moses had said to him 45 years ago. You can see that we read already in Numbers 14, verse 24, "But my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring it into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take the possession of it." So he could not forget this promise. However, what he could not forget was the days when the Israelites cried out and wept all night long. Please open your Bible. Please find out the Numbers chapter 14, verse 1 to 5. Numbers chapter 14, verse 1 to 5. And we read together, because this is an important part about the feeling of the Israelite heart. I'd like to read Numbers 14, verse 1 to 5. Let's read together. "Then all the congregation lift up their voice and cry, and the people wept that night. And all the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, 'Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness? And why is the Lord bring us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become the plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?' So they said to one another, 'Let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell on their face in the presence of all the assembly of the congregation of the sons of Israel. Because of those who spoke ill of the land of Canaan and complained against God, the Israelites were forced to live in the wilderness for 40 years, and in the end all But Caleb and Joshua perished in the wilderness. And today, Caleb could not forget the descendant of Anak in Hebrew, a Hebron who had played a decisive role of that time in causing the Israelites to reject God's word and promise, fall into temptations, become discouraged, and grumble against God. Caleb now wanted to conquer by faith this land of Hebron, which had once been the catalyst of unbelief and the greatest snare to the people of Israel, in order to completely remove all seeds of unbelief and grumbling. He believed that unless the land of Hebron, where the descendant of Anakim lived, was conquered, it could not truly be said that the promised land, the land of Canaan, had been fully taken. Although the Canaanites occupied Hebron both at the time of the Exodus and during the conquest of the Canaan, Hebron was, in fact, the promised place where the forefathers of faith, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, were buried. Then isn't it only right that, as the descendant of the promised, they should reclaim that land from the Canaanites? On what basis did God, who brought the Israelites out of Egypt, fulfill the promise he made to whom? Let's look at the Exodus chapter 2, verse 24 to 25. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and God saw the sons of Israel, and God took notice of them. Even if the land of Hebron was occupied by the descendant of the Nephilim, the Anakite, and among them the strongest, the Abba, shouldn't it all the more be conquered by faith, so that the fulfillment of God's covenant of the blazing torch might be demonstrated at the entrance of the cave of Machpelah, where his ancestors were buried? 45 years earlier, when the spies explored the land of Canaan and saw the land of Hebron, only Caleb and Joshua viewed it with such eyes of faith. 12 spies explored the same land of Canaan for the same period of time. But why did their report differ so greatly? It was because even though they saw the same thing, their perspectives differed. They clearly saw the same thing. Let's look at the Numbers chapter 13, verse 27. All 12 spies reported the same. Thus they told him to Moses and said, "We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." They should have stopped there. They should have stopped there. However, the 10 spies began to speak out unfaithfully. Let's look at the Numbers 13, verse 28. "Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large, and moreover, we saw the descendant of Anak there." Then the Israelites began to stir. When Caleb saw this, he calmed the Israelites and said, "Let us go up and take possession of the land. We can certainly conquer it." He said that even though the inhabitants of the land were strong and the cities were fortified, they were not to be feared, but were simply an object to be conquered by God. Let's look at the Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people Moses, and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it." Then the other 10 men raised their voice and said, "They are much stronger than we are, so we cannot possibly conquer them, let alone go up to their fortress." Let's go to the Numbers chapter 13, verse 31. But the man who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the peoples, for they are too strong for us." They spoke ill of the land of Canaan using the most provocative words, saying that if they tried to settle down, they would be devoured by its inhabitants. They claimed that all the people living there were giant, that they could not be defeated by strength, and that even if they were to take the land, other nations coveting it would attack, resulting in the death of many. Why were their reports to drastically difference? Here is a bottle, and it is half filled with water. How would you describe the water in the bottle? Some might say it's only half full, while others might say it's already half full. Clearly, both statements are factually correct, but when see through a negative lens, one focuses on the empty part of the bottles. What is lacking, which leads to complaint and dissatisfaction. However, when viewed with a positive perspective, one focuses on the part that is filled, saying it's already half full, means it holds more than expected. Is a sign of relief or of joy and gratitude. Those who spoke negatively about the land of Canaan that God has promised did so because they looked through their own eyes, through the lens of their own judgment and unbelief. They saw the greatness of the people and the strength of their fortress as greater than God. But Caleb and Joshua believed in God's promise, and when they went to see the land, they confirmed that it truly was a land flowing with milk and honey. They looked at the Canaanite and the descendant of Anak, who were the subject of the bad report, through God's eye, through eyes of faith. This unbelieving eye led to the first generation in the wilderness not being able to enter the land of Canaan. After 45 years, Caleb once again saw the land of Hebron, the final conquer the land of Canaan with the eyes of faith. He sought to conquer Hebron on his own initiative, so as not to leave the seed of unbelief for the second generation in the wilderness. For 45 years, he prayed constantly in his heart. He was determined that when he entered the land, he would conquer the mountainous region to wipe away the tears of complaint and dissatisfaction and inform for the generation that the land of Canaan had been conquered as God had promised. Hebron, in particular, is a place that must be conquered by a believer in order to complete the fulfillment of God's promise. It is like the Garden of Eden, which God gave to Adam along with the face and life, commending him to God and rule over it. After Adam's fall, it became a lost paradise, a place awaiting a final battle with the Satan, Without the restoration of Eden, the completion of God's salvation cannot be achieved. Are you living as though you are forgotten Eden? Have you become so comfortable and complacent that you are neglecting the spiritual battle against Satan? Are you spiritually equipped? Or are you simply assuming that the God will take care of everything for you? No. It is we who must take actions. We as descendants of Christ must restore what Adam lost. We must become spiritual caliphs, carrying God's word and conquering that place to bring an end to it. Let's look at the Malachi chapter 4, verse 3. And you will tread down the weak, for they shall be ashes under the sole of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. We must learn from Caleb through courage in volunteering to take on the most difficult task, the conquest of Hebron. Within that, the courage lies a commitment to dedicate everything for this purpose. It is not just words, but acting according to God's word that is a true courage and devotion. It means sacrifice oneself for the gospel, for the church, and for God. There is no greater courage than sacrifice. We must realize that dedication is a blessing. It was through this dedication that Caleb was able to inherit the legacy of the patriarch of faith. May all the members of the Love First Church inherit the heavenly kingdom that God has promised to give us forever through such dedication in the name of the Lord. Next time, I will continue to talk about the source of his victorious faith. Let us pray together.